Good morning. This is Dr. Daniel Vinograd. I'm a biological dentist in San Diego, California. And today I'd like to speak a little bit about implants. So it's interesting how much implants have actually progressed over the last couple of decades. I remember maybe over 20 years ago when I first started placing implants, I was considered to be a little bit on the fringe. Dentists who placed implants were not looked upon very favorably. In fact, there was a lot of pressure on people who started placing implants, and it was considered pretty much outside of the realm of dentistry, or at least prudent dentistry, as some people saw it. And you know, there was some truth to that, because they were quite invasive. There were large blades that were placed on the mandibles just to restore one tooth. So fast forward 25 years, and now we're really looking at implants as probably the fastest growing area in dentistry, and one that has gone from possibly a 50% success rate to over 99% success rate if done properly. And so this is probably an important consideration for most patients that are either going to lose a tooth or have lost a tooth that is important for their function. Now, from the biological point of view, a lot of people ask me what I think about implants, what I think about root canals, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, my biggest concern is actually, from a biological point of view, is obviously bacterial infection. And, you know, when you have a root canal that is a focus of bacterial infection, or a tooth that is quite involved periodontally, where the gums are inflamed and infected, and that in itself is, to me, a much, much greater challenge to the body than anything else. So having said that, when do we decide to place an implant versus, for example, a bridge or a root canal? And, you know, a lot of those considerations have to do with your general health. Also important to look at, for example, if you have two adjacent teeth to the tooth to be lost or lost that have large restorations, I would probably consider placing a bridge there, because really there is not going to be a great loss. As a matter of fact, it's sometimes an improvement on the adjacent teeth. However, if you have a couple of virgin teeth on each side, then you really definitely need to look into an implant. Now, what are the considerations for an implant? What are the requirements? And mostly it's just about having a healthy bone, which, you know, 95% of the population has it. But also you need to have enough bone for an implant to be placed. There are a number of different implants in the market. And when the modern generation of implants came out, you know, people were placing implants that were quite big, 18, 20 millimeter long implants, which is really quite a huge implant and quite invasive. In the last decade or so, implants have gotten smaller. And as a matter of fact, there are a lot of research papers that have come out showing that actually smaller implants integrate better and have equal longevity to longer implants. So really the movement has been towards shorter, better designed implants. And today a lot of the implants are in the 10 to 15 millimeter range, which is still large and invasive, not compared to where they used to be, but there are other options today which I like to talk about, and that's mini short implants. Now there's a difference between the mini implants that are placed for dentures, which are very, very thin, And then implants such as Bicon, which is the ones that I use, which have actually been designed. They're actually much shorter, much smaller, but very well designed, and they have a lot of surface that a bone can integrate to. And so usually my implants are about 6 millimeter long, which actually makes a huge difference in my ability to place them without being so invasive, without needing so much bone. And that often translates into less, not only less invasive procedure, but a shorter recuperation time, and often less costly. And that is because often when we don't have enough bone, we have to actually look at either grafting bone into the area, repositioning nerves, or actually lifting sinuses to create space for the implants. Those are all invasive procedures, and they are also a bit costly and obviously problematic as far as the, you know, possible complications and bringing new variables into the equation. And so the ability to place a 6 millimeter implant allows us to have tremendous versatility, lowering costs, and also allowing us to place them in areas where a regular implant would not be placed. And a lot of people at the beginning were actually doubting how sturdy or how much these implants could actually last, how long could they last. And all research has shown that they are equally effective, efficient, and actually even a little bit more successful than some of the longer implants. One of the important aspects in implants from a biocompatible point of view is the material that is actually that the implant is made from. And most implants, I would say a great majority of them, are made of titanium, which is probably the most biocompatible metal that there is. In Europe, they have been using zirconia implants, and I know a lot of people ask for zirconia implants. And there's really not a problem with the zirconia itself. Actually, it's very biocompatible. The problem is that the zirconia implants are one piece. They're very long, very large, very invasive. And by being only one piece versus most of the titanium implants, which are two piece, you have to actually place these implants in a perfect position to be able to place a crown on them. That actually translates often into a need for the dentist to re-prepare the top part of the implant where the crown is going to go, creating some microfractures. So there have been some issues with fractures. There are issues with them being very invasive and really, really difficult to place, making the outcome less certain. If you would have tremendous amount of bone and easy line of insertion for the implant, they could work quite well. But in most cases, it is a challenge. And so for that reason, I have shied away from them. I understand in Europe they're working on a two-piece zirconia implant. And when that takes place, I will revisit that. In the meantime, the fact that the Bicon implants are so short and so small, they seem to be so uninvasive that at this point I favor those, and that's definitely what I would place on myself or a family member. In addition to that, we need to think about the possibility of getting those implants with biocompatible materials that coat them and making them a bit more biocompatible. And ultimately, there's a lot of research. You can go on the internet and you can, seek a lot of information out. In my practice, I'm very observant, and most patients really talk to me a lot. And when I see that a procedure is actually being well received by most people's bodies, most people's jaws, That in itself, for me, is very reassuring. And what I see with the implants that I place is that the body just loves them. They get integrated quite nicely, in particular in the design of these Bicon implants. There are very, very few problems. Leakage used to be a problem with a lot of them. And, you know, the design of these, as well as a few others that have improved on the design, really are now to the point where, if well placed, they have over 99% chance of success. I hope that has been helpful. I have really expanded the placement of implants in my practice because I feel it's a very clean, a very successful procedure that has actually been well received by most patients, both in its function and its biocompatibility. All the best, and I hope you all have a great day.